slow down. They don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Oh love, they don't love you like I love you. Hold down, they don't love you like I love you. Something don't feel right, because it ain't right. Especially coming
mic
up after
check,
midnight.
Mic check. Okay, Carly, we're gonna check your mic.
Perfect. To ever feel this worthless. How did it come down to this? Scrolling through your call list. I don't wanna lose my pride, but I'ma fuck me up a bit.
This here? Say something, Carly.
Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Hello? Oh,
wait. Hello? Yeah, check. I can hear you. But I'm gonna work on getting you headphones.
Okay, thank you.
But you sound good. You sound good.
Wait, can't you hear us what we're saying?
She doesn't have headphones.
But isn't she going to be fine? Like, does she need to have headphones? She can still hear what we're saying.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Like, that doesn't make us, like, we can hear, like, clearly, but it doesn't make them deaf.
That's true. Okay, it's 1 o'clock, and welcome to What's Shaking Here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Cheeks, and we have 3 guest speakers today. I'm super excited. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves first on my right-hand side. My teammate, our strap-up shooter, Carly.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Just tell who you are.
I'm Carly Holbrook. I'm a senior here at Dominican. I'm a business major. And, yeah, I'm Sandy's teammate.
tell them about on the court, your aspects, what you do. You're in PSAC.
Yeah, so I do.
We want to know about you, Carly.
I do a bunch of different things on campus. I'm the president of our PSAC, which is our Penguin Student Athlete Advisory Committee, and we focus on student athlete engagement in the community and just kind of heightening the whole student athlete experience on campus.
Wow, that's some big deal. Yeah. And then, Josh.
Hi guys, my name's Josh Armstrong. I'm on the men's basketball team here, and I don't have a specialty like Carly. I guess I get to the basket a little bit. Not in any clubs, just a regular kid, just living out his hoop dreams.
And then Danielle.
My name is Danielle. I'm a senior, I'm a psych major. I don't play any sports, but I like sports. And yeah, I guess. Oh, I'm a member of BSU.
Yeah. And wow, that's interesting. Josh, you said you're not in any clubs. That must be boring. What do you do with your free time?
I mean, I stay pretty busy with basketball, and I have work. I work at the business services office, so it's not like I'm just sitting around all the time. There's always homework to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Not too lazy, so I stay busy.
Okay. I'm just trying to make you look good to our audience, you know? I know you're not.
Yeah, no, I'm 6'3", like 215, like pure muscle, like what's up?
Okay, and that's our guest speakers. So these are my first guest speakers, and I'm super excited they're here, and I'll give you a little background on things I wanted to share about them that they didn't share. Carly, as I said, is my teammate, and she's a great shooter, and you guys should definitely come check out her games. Josh is also a basketball player here at Dominican, and he does everything from the one all the way to the five. Like, he's an all-around player, great player, and they both do a lot off the court too. They are business majors. They wanna have big businesses outside of Dominican, and Danielle's a psych major, and they're all here today to discuss the matter at hand. So why I brought them on today, a different, very diverse group of people we have here, because we're going to cover the topics of white privilege and Black Lives Matter, because my professor, Stu, shout out to you, he wanted me to cover some aspects of what, of their perspective, like, what is it like? Because I've told you guys how I felt about it, and so I want to hear from them. First, I'm going to start with Carly, and then Josh and Daniel. I want them to explain to them what is Black Lives Matter, to them what is white privilege. And then we're going to have conversations about that. So, Carly, could you, like, explain to us, like, what do you understand as, like, Black Lives Matter?
Well, I understand that it's kind of a social movement right now. It's something we have a population or a what's the word I'm trying to say? We have an African-American population right now who are feeling oppressed. They feel like they're not being recognized as everybody else in America, which is completely wrong. So it's not that Black Lives Matter is saying that nobody else matters, and yes, that there's not other lives on the planet or in America that don't matter. It's just that there is a certain demographic right now being oppressed, and that we need to bring to light the issues that are happening. So it's not, it makes me, it frustrates me when people say that this means that they don't care about anybody else, because that's not what I believe is the backbone of Black Lives Matter. It's just trying, yes, to bring to light what is happening and the injustice that's happening right now in America, and how we as a whole nation, black, white, yellow, green, doesn't matter, we can work to change that social injustice.
And I just want you guys to understand, like, I just have a whole new respect for Carly after hearing that. I want her to tell you guys her race, because I don't want you, because you can hear her, but she can't see her. So I want her to, like, tell you guys, like, she is not African American. She's not black. So can you tell
them? I am a Caucasian female. So, yes, I am not black.
And you guys, like, understand, like, that's such a, like, I really, like, respect her for that statement.
Thanks,
and then, Josh, I don't know if you're as educated as you said before on the Black Lives Matter, but you have a lot to say about white privilege, you said.
I mean, I think Carly covered it pretty well. I'm from Southern California, predominantly white community in Orange County, and that's just kind of the way I grew up. But even I can see that there's a real problem in society, and that Black Lives Matter, and they need to address the racial inequality in America right now. And there's a lot of bad things going on because of, like, the media and people always having their phones out and stuff. It's much more prevalent now. Like, I didn't see it before, because before it wasn't so prevalent, where people were posting on Snapchat and all these videos were coming out. But now that we have this new technology where you can instantly post something onto a social media platform and everyone can see it, people are starting to see that there's still really a problem. So I think it's really important that this issue is addressed.
Yes. And then I saved Danielle for last, because Josh, you didn't tell us your race, you know, that's important.
I said I'm a white boy.
Oh, you did, a white boy from Southern California. I'm sorry. But yes, and as opposed to Josh, Danielle, she has a more personal say on this movement. So
yeah. I am obviously African American, so I am personally affected by Black Lives Matter. Yes, I have an older brother. He's obviously also African American, so we go through the everyday issues that Black people go through in this country,
yes,
whether it's very subtle or in your face. We are still facing discrimination, and the Black Lives Matter movement to me is just a movement that is bringing awareness to something that has been going on, but now people are able to see proof for themselves. If they didn't believe us before, they believe us now, because yes, they can see it with their own eyes. So that's one thing that I appreciate about the movement. And then I can't really speak too much on white privilege because I'm not white. So,
yeah.
But I can, I guess, the things that I see is that it's probably not as obvious to a lot of other white people that white privilege is a thing. Because
yeah,
you're in it, so you're not going to be able to see from the outside looking in. But
yeah,
from the outside looking in, I can see that there are definitely certain advantages that white people have over other races in this country. And we're not saying that's a bad thing, but it's just that we would prefer equality across the board instead of having some people having the upper hand than others.
Yes, and I was going to ask Carly and Josh, how do you guys feel about white privilege? What's your understanding?
I've actually personally done a lot of research on white privilege, because it's kind of a fascinating, like, psychographic concept that we have in America, and it's something that's built since our nation. I mean, the way that our nation was built was on slavery, so you had black oppression and white supremacy from the beginning that this nation was built. Mm-hmm. So it's, as much as we can say, oh, this is wrong, and like I want to be like, oh, white privilege, like, that's not real. It is. It's a thing that exists. It doesn't matter if I'm white and you're black. Like, it's still a thing, and that's really unfortunate that our nation is built on something like that. And it just goes back to white people. I wrote a research paper a couple years ago, and it was 85% of white people are drug abuse users, yet more than half of the people in jail are people of color. Which that statistic is like, what? Like, that doesn't even make sense. But I mean, it's a reality. And like, you hear success stories, like you think about Oprah Winfrey, and she's like one of the greatest success stories that we have in our nation, but she's always going to be labeled as an African-American success story. And it's like, when are we going to get to that point as a nation that we can drop that and just be like, this is Oprah Winfrey as a human being and her success that she's made?
Yes.
You know, and it's frustrating, but it's something that happens, and it's going to maintain that way until the entire culture shift of our nation changes. And culture shift isn't an easy thing to obtain. It's a very, very difficult thing to get to. But I mean, we're starting to work towards it. Black Lives Matter is an excellent example of taking that step forward and trying to ease that injustice.
Yes, thank you so much, Carly. Like, every time you just speak on this matter, I just build a more of a respect on you, because you do sound very educated on it, and you're not ignorant on it, and that's just, I really appreciate that. And so, Josh, our buddy here, how do you feel? Because you and Carly is from Washington. I don't know if you mentioned that to them, but she's not even from California, so she has, like, a totally different perspective. And our young fella here, Josh, he is from California, so what do you think? What do you feel about white privilege? And do you have any experiences? Do you have any examples?
I mean, like I said, I grew up in Southern California, white predominant community. So, like you kind of mentioned, I didn't experience it much. That's just how I grew up. Like, I didn't see black people being oppressed either. But it's just like, that's just the community I grew up in. So it's hard to, like, weigh in on it when really there wasn't a lot of black kids in our community. But they also, at the same time, the black kids that were in our community were not, like, oppressed, or I didn't see them any differently. So it's just hard for me to weigh on it when I haven't lived in, like, different areas. I've been pretty sheltered in the one place that I've lived in. That's kind of, like, all I know at this point.
I think I kind of agree with Josh on that. Like, I grew up, where I lived in Washington, it was a very diverse population. Like, my high school graduating class, we were extremely diverse. It wasn't, like, white dominant or anything like that. It actually wasn't until I came to college and into the Bay Area where I actually started to notice more of the differences, or I'd be, like, not called out, but I'd be more recognized for the color of my skin. Yeah. And I don't know if that's just being in the Bay Area, which is it's a melting pot of cultures right here where we are. But I just thought that was interesting, and that's kind of what spurred my interest to look more into these social injustices and kind of what's happening in the world, because I feel like just the Bay Area brings to light the issues more than other places in the country, which is great because it's a starting point for the rest of the country to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And so, something else, did you have something to add, Danielle?
Well, the only thing I could add is that, like, I grew up here in the Bay Area. I grew up in Santa Fe, so mm-hmm. Since I grew up in Marin County, you don't really see a lot of black people, and the few that you do see are either in Marin City, which is considered, like, the ghetto part of Marin, or you see the few that are from wealthy families, so you don't really see, like, the stereotypical black people in the ghetto, white people are living in the suburbs type thing, because we're all technically in the suburbs here, so you don't really see too much of the separation. But as soon as you cross the bridge to go to Richmond or to Oakland, you really see the difference between where people are living, the living conditions. And so that's what I could see personally, but I can't really speak on, like, the area that I grew up, because here it's pretty diverse, but it's also not, so
yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how to explain my perspective, but it's just like, I grew up around a lot of non-black people, so I also can see from other people's point of view how the world looks. And
yeah I definitely like I understand where all three of you guys are coming from, because if it's kind of like, if something is not happening in your face, you don't have like, okay, I can't speak personally because I was not personally in that situation. But from my understanding, which is what you guys are saying, from my understanding, this is what I could say. For white privilege, I feel like, personally, I feel I've seen, like, situations where it's like, oh, my God, like, how are they getting away with that? Like, I'm going to use Brock Turner, for example. Like, that's an example of white privilege. Like, yes, that is ridiculous. But I kind of wanted to switch gears a little bit. So, I wanted to know how you guys felt about the Colin Kaepernick situation. What are you guys' opinion on that?
Oh, okay. I actually kind of agree with what he's doing. He is protesting. It's a nonviolent protest. He's not really disturbing anyone. Like, he's not in your face saying, hey, you have to listen to me. He's just respectfully kneeling down while the national anthem is playing because of the message behind a national anthem. Because what a lot of people don't know is that the national anthem was written by racists.
It's such a racist song. If you go down, like,
yeah,
to the
if you go to the third verse, if you look up the lyrics, you will see what this nation was founded on. So he is protesting against it, saying that he doesn't agree with what the country is doing, but he's not going to be quote unquote disrespectful because he does have family members that are in the police force and I think military and all that, like people who actually serve the country. So I agree with what he's saying, and I appreciate the way that he's trying to put out the message, because there are so many other ways to go about, like, bringing awareness to certain issues, and I feel like his issue is just controversial enough that people have to take a step back and look into what he's protesting.
Yeah.
But it's not a violent thing, so they can't say that he's being aggressive or he's doing this or whatever. Yeah,
definitely not. Did you have something to include, Carly?
I completely agree. I think, I can see both sides of why people are saying, like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this because, I mean, we're a nation and we're staying together. But then I understand, like, if you actually have listened to what he said on the subject and why he's doing it, mm-hmm. it's not that he hates America or that mm-hmm. he's not proud of the country he lives in. He's just not happy with the social injustice that America is currently experiencing. Yes. He doesn't want to live in a nation that's okay with all these people that are being killed unjustly or people that aren't being put in jail for crimes that they committed for a mm-hmm. long enough time, you know, things like that. So I think, I mean, we have freedom of speech and we have in America, that's something that makes our country great, is that you're able to do these things and do peaceful type protests like Kaepernick is doing right now. I mean, he's not hurting anyone. It's like, it's one of those things where you can't do anything right. Like, people are saying, like, oh, if you don't like this, protest it. But then you're protesting, oh, but don't protest that way. Like, that's not the way I want you to do it. And it's like, okay, well, then what do you want us to do? We're dealing with this huge problem in our nation, and there's people out there trying to do something about it in a peaceful way, and people still throw up their hands saying, no, that's not the right way that you can do it. So mm-hmm. you kind of have to just I applaud Kaepernick for sticking with what he's doing, because you're not going to be able to please everyone. That's just the reality of life. But I feel like people need to kind of understand where he's coming from.
Yes.
And then they might understand the whole kneeling a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as an athlete, do you have like a because some people who are saying, why are you doing this? You play for the 49ers. Like, you're not supposed to be – you're just supposed to stay on the field and not, like, do anything extra to – abstract from that, like, just play football. Is there like a personal
I think as athletes, I mean, especially professional athletes, I mean, you're on a bigger stage, people know your name. That's kind of, it's one of the things you're kind of going into when you are playing a professional sport. And I'm not saying that every single person who is in the spotlight should do something to, if they have an injustice in the world or they have something they're passionate about, should use that platform. But if you have the opportunity to and you're proud of it and you want to make a voice, I mean, I think that's a beautiful platform to be able to do that on, you know, because it's hard. Social change is hard, especially it's coming from the ground up. Yeah. That's what takes so long, is getting everybody on the lower levels to agree with what's going on, and for the upper levels to be like, okay, yeah, like let's make some change in this country. So I think as an athlete, like, you need to be able, I think you should, but you need to be doing it in a way that is respectful and a way that other people can understand what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That does. Okay. Yeah, Josh, do you have something different to say?
I think she touched on it pretty good. I just think that we actually have a chance, our generation, to make a real difference, because it's so easy with all of our media platforms to really get out there and send your message to a wide group of people, a lot of people. And that's what Kaepernick is doing through his using sports. He's a professional athlete, so obviously people are paying attention to what he's doing. So we have a good chance that if people were to speak up and do the right thing and speak their mind and say what they want and how they feel about this, we can actually make a change, and we might be the generation that can finally do it and promote more racial equality between one another.
Yes, and just sticking on that subject, there's just news that just came out. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader, she calls Colin Kaepernick's protest dumb and disrespectful. Yeah. And I just wanted to see what you guys' this opinion was on that. Are you guys familiar with what, like...
I know the overview. I don't know the details. So I don't know if Danielle should probably take the reins on that one, just because I haven't been totally educated on that.
I don't know the full... I just read it, honestly, on Instagram. I saw it in my feed, and I was like... I just laughed, because I'm like, this is someone who has the type of authority to make and change laws.
Right.
And you're disagreeing with a protest that is...
A peaceful
protest that's asking for equality. Do not kill people randomly because of the color of their skin, but you think it's dumb and disrespectful. But I think killing people for no reason is dumb and disrespectful.
Exactly.
So, to me, seeing this just shows how much ingrained it is in our society, because we always forget that the older generations were here when the civil rights was going on.
Yeah.
They were here when all of these things were going on, and a lot of them didn't speak out. Either they agreed with it or they just didn't feel like talking about it. Yeah. Which is fine. You don't have to talk about it, but we as a younger generation have to remember where people are coming from too. So we have to realize that change is going to take a while, because people still have their old mentalities. People are still thinking the way they were thinking when they were younger, which was 60-70 years ago. And it's not something that's it's not going to change right now. Hopefully we as the younger generation will be able to motivate them and educate them to be able to be like, you know, how you're thinking is not correct.
Yeah.
Everyone is equal. We are all human. We all bleed red.
Yes.
So
it kind of like takes back to like, to the people who were like, you know, when it was overly, because it's, there's still racism, definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when it was still segregation, like those people who were like, okay, we're all humans, let's all come together, like that was like a big, so like a big change. So we can be a part of another huge change where we can all say, okay, we just all need to realize like, we're all still just humans. Like, this is an issue. This is what we need to do. This is when we need, like, we all. And I feel like a Supreme Court just, like, you are at a high position. Yeah. And she should.
That's she the highest.
Yeah, it's the highest. You don't get any higher than that. And she's really bold for making a statement like that, talking about dumb and disrespectful. Like, she's dumb and disrespectful for that. I'm actually a little pissed off she said that.
Well, I think Danielle kind of hit the nail on the head when she talked about the generational differences, because she's definitely coming from a point of view that is drastically different from the people sitting in this room right now.
Yeah.
You know, she grew, she was a young woman during the time of the of civil rights movements and stuff. So I think I'm not giving an excuse for her, but that's, I'm going to say, I'm theoreticizing that that's probably where her point of view is coming from, is that she, we're the first generation to question, you know, why these injustices are happening. Well, okay, not the first generation, but we're
the ones who are more vocal about
it. The more vocal. Yes, thank you. That's the way to put it. And they've just always thought, you know, this is the way we do it, this is the way it's taught, we're going to go by the book, and this is it. And millennials are really, they question things, you know, we're questioning what's happening around us, what's right, what's wrong. That's why, I mean, they, people criticize the millennials for jumping around so much, but it's more that we're trying to figure out, we're not going to settle for something that's just mediocre. We're going to move around until we find where we belong, or we're going to, until we find that social justice. So I think that's, there's a big generational differences between all of us.
Yes, and I wanted to kind of going off of like the topic we were just on. So you guys are familiar with Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream. So they just made a bold, very bold statement. I actually went and got myself some Ben and Jerry's ice cream, because they made a huge statement. They said, they put on their Instagram and said Black Lives Matter. And for word for word, what they put was like, all lives do matter, but all lives will not matter until Black Lives Matter. And they got some backlash from it, and they got some backlash from the Blue Lives Matter organization, which, in my opinion, I kind of want to know what you guys' opinion on this is, too. The Blue Lives Matter organization, what is their, so they're, these are cops? But can't cops also be for Black, like, they Blue Lives Matter, like, there's also Black cops in that, so.
But the thing that's funny to me is that when someone says Black Lives Matter, they say all lives matter. Fine. But, so if blue lives matter, then all jobs matter, right? Okay. So then it's not that they are saying that, oh, Black lives don't matter. It's just that they want, I guess, the focus to be more on them. Okay, their job is dangerous. That's fine. But they, at the same time, you chose that profession.
Yes.
I did not choose to be Black.
Yes.
So there's a choice in there somewhere.
Yes.
And one thing that I don't agree with their movement is that they're trying to silence people who are protesting police brutality. Don't be brutal to people and they won't protest.
Yes.
Like, don't kill random people because they're Black, because they look aggressive. You don't know that.
Yes.
Because how many instances are there where people are literally minding their business, going about their daily tasks and whatever, and then something happens. They get killed. Why? Why is that okay?
Right.
So it's like, a police officer, I respect them because, you know, their job is dangerous. They are out here fighting to protect us. But at the same time, don't kill people because you feel threatened, because you feel like they look aggressive. You don't know them.
Yeah.
You also, most of the time, they're unarmed. So what is the aggression? Where is the aggression coming from?
Yes. And this, that is why they have a taser. Like, you can tase. Yes. And then, oh, he actually doesn't have a weapon. Okay, if he was starting, you go ahead and arrest him. But don't shoot him first, and then find out he doesn't have a weapon, and then, well,
and
rest in peace.
Life is already gone. Like,
yeah.
Like, you can't bring them back.
You can't.
And then the thing that really irritates me is that after they kill them, then they go find all the dirt on them to justify why they killed them.
Just like, I'm going to take it back to just like Trayvon Martin. Like, they, CNN, Fox News, I do not listen to Fox News. I do not. You know, you will never hear me mention anything about Fox News being my source because they're not, they're unreliable.
Yeah.
And so they go ahead and pull up a picture talking about this thug got shot. Mm-hmm. Why can't he just be a boy that got shot? Why can't he just be a young man that got shot?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just, I always use Brock Turner as an example because, you know what, he just happened to be the freshest the freshest meat in the pot right now. So when it comes to him, you know, this is another example of white privilege. It's a Stanford swimmer.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this Stanford swimmer with the 1.1 minute mile on the swimming just allegedly raped somebody. They don't even think they use the word rape in that.
Yeah, they said allegedly.
That's not okay. That is not okay. That just angers me. And I don't know if I support this Blue Lives Matter organization because I don't think their movement is
coming from a genuine place.
Yes. I think it's coming from anger. It's like, you guys are trying to kill us. You're trying to make all these organizations to get against us, but we're trying to help you, save you and stuff. Because why would you... Why I mentioned the Ben and Jerry's is because the Blue Lives Matter wants to boycott Ben and Jerry's ice cream for supporting Black Lives Matter. Dang. So... Like, Josh, do you have something to say about this? Because you're sitting here like, Carly, go ahead.
I'm soaking it all in.
I think I kind of agree with the Blue Lives Matter. It's not, it just makes me mad because Black Lives Matter does not mean no one else matters. Yes. Like, that does not mean nobody else matters.
Yeah.
And I think I would understand more Blue Lives Matter if they weren't being so oppressive to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
Like, if they wanted to celebrate our cops and, you know, and celebrate our police force and things like that, like, that's great.
And
like,
community
that's
action.
Yeah, and community
like
action.
That.
Like, that's wonderful. What bothers me is when there's when there's negative social movement or a type of social movement that's oppressing someone else. That's when I have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Blue Lives Matter, like, in theory, if they were just trying to be like, you know, like, we just want to, because it's true, like, now there are cops some great cops out there who are getting flack from the community just because people are scared that, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, now it's unfortunate that sometimes good people are having to go through these bad things just because of what's happening in the world. So I think it bears down to just what you're supporting and the way that you're doing it. Are you trying to do positive social change, or are you trying to oppress another group while you're doing it? Because if you're doing that, then you're just creating more conflict, and we're just taking one step forward and five steps back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally agree.
Yes, definitely. Carly, you, yeah, that was a good, you really hit the nail on the head with that one. And so, wait, I did have a question for you, Carly, though. You said you do support the Blue Lives Matter, and I wanted to know, like...
No, I mean, I think... I'm not as educated on Blue Lives Matter as I am on Black Lives Matter, so I just want to make sure everyone knows that. I think I don't agree with how Blue Lives Matter is oppressing Black Lives Matter, or, you know, or trying to... Like, they're attacking Jenna Maris. Like, I think that's horrible. Like, no, like, that's not an okay thing to do. So, I guess... I mean, I don't know how all the factions of Blue Lives Matter are. I don't know if there's some people who are just trying to protect our police force, or if everybody who's involved with Blue Lives Matter is trying to stop Black Lives Matter. So I think I need to educate myself a little bit more to create to be able to formulate an okay opinion, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to read you what the definition of Blue Lives Matter is.
So you're looking it up? Okay, perfect. Thanks, Sandy.
Blue Lives Matter is a pro-police movement. Blue Lives Matter is a pro-police movement in the United States. It was started after killings of NYPD officers. So pretty much, what I'm understanding, I don't know if Wikipedia is a good source.
Probably not. I'm going to say that's not a good source.
Thanks, Josh.
I'm just
pointing. Blue Lives Matter says... We are Blue Lives Matter, New York City, a registered nonprofit organization created to help law enforcement officers and their families during their time of need. Members of the organization are both police officers and members from other states and federal agencies that are dedicated to making a difference and demonstrating that Blue Lives Matter. So their statement says everything but explaining what Blue Lives Matter means.
I was going to say, I don't really feel like I know more from that statement.
Exactly. It says, our mission is to raise awareness and enlist the public's aid for the needs of police officers, to help police officers and assist each other, to provide a police officer's family with comfort and support as they go through hard times. Does anybody still...
I think it's supposed to be like police officers supporting one another because they've taken so much heat lately because of all the, I don't want to say it like this, but like all the people that they have killed basically for, so like they need to, I think a better stance that they should take is to actually support Black Lives Matter and say, hey, look at this movement. Look at our movement as well. We're trying to support racial equality and we don't mean to shoot these black people down. We support the Black Lives Matter movement, but also there's a movement for Blue Lives Matter for the cops that, we're trying to make sure our cops are better. We're supporting them in these ways. And so I think that they just need to approach it differently. I don't know why they would attack Ben and Jerry's for doing something positive for the community. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, and that was ridiculous. What they actually said was they think that Ben and Jerry's supporting the movement is an attack for law enforcement. So they said, by not only attacking law enforcement, but openly supporting Black Lives Matter, Ben and Jerry's is sure to anger most Americans who do not agree with the political causes that they are supporting.
Okay, so does that mean that they're okay with people being killed? Because that's what I'm getting from this.
That's what I got from it.
like if you're okay with random people being killed for nothing at all, then that's fine. Maybe that's the country you want to live in, that's fine.
I feel like the theory behind Blue Lives Matter is fine. Like, they're just trying to support, you know, our police force.
Yeah.
But they're going about it not in the right way.
Horribly.
Yeah. So the theory's there. I think Josh made an excellent point that it needs to change their focus a little bit to make more of a difference.
I don't see why everything always has to be so divisive, too, because it's like, you can have both black and blue lives matter. That's fine. There are black police officers, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not like, I don't see why people feel like it's one or the other. You can be for both, but the thing is, why is one movement trying so hard to make the other movement disappear?
Yeah.
When you know you're guilty of doing something.
Exactly. And the thing I don't understand with the Blue Lives Matter is these are police officers. They were sworn in to serve and to protect. And they are fighting harder to get rid of a peaceful protest that is trying to draw awareness to what they're doing wrong. Exactly. So if you don't want to protect, then do not be in the field. There's actually good officers. There's officers who love what they're doing, who they wake up every day like, I'm going to help the community. Mm-hmm. I'm going to save lives. They know when they wake up, like, they might not return. They kiss their wives. Like, they hug their family tight because it is a dangerous job. Mm-hmm. You get what you sign up for. But them being so angry and making this Blue Lives Matter movement, my understanding, actually, what I first thought Blue Lives Matter was it was a movement that was created to, when a police officer got shot, when nothing was being done when we were peacefully protesting, so people started getting angry. They're like, you know what, we're going to retaliate. We're going to go at the officers who are shooting innocent people. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, so you're going to come after us? And now they're like, we're going to make our own movement.
Yeah.
And so this movement was made out of anger, so it has so much... It has so much anger behind it. It's not about peace anymore. It's about like diminish them, shut them down, Like, we're not for them. Okay, and right now we're gonna take our very first commercial break. This has been a nice heated commercial, and so Josh wants you guys to hear this song. Is this what you wanted to hear, Josh?
Yeah, it kind of touches on it a little bit, but
is it clean?
I don't know how clean it is. When I listen to songs, I don't really notice. But it has a good message.
Okay, we're going to listen to Josh. It's called Nick Grand, Black Boy, White Boy. I've never heard it, so.
It's supposed to be about the differences between black boys in a community and white boys in a community, basically.
Yeah, so we're going to listen closely. So stay tuned here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Cheeks, and you're finding out what's shaking here at radio.dominican.edu.
It's from my heart. From my heart. They call a black boy stupid and the white boy loved it. White boy corporate, black boy hustling. White boys are honest, black boys you shouldn't trust them. White boy got his wish, black boys they give us nothing. Black boy got it hard, white boy think he God. White boy got nigga jokes, but that's where the line is drawn. Ha ha ha. White boy snitch, black boy ain't involved. Black boy live in the ghetto, white boy live a facade. Black boy rapper, him got swagger in his chain hang. White boy love his kids and faithful to his main thing. Black boy baby mama, meaning he got lady drama. White boy slave owner, does that mean he hate Obama? Black boy Kevin Hart, white boy Will Ferrell. Black boy love hip hop, white boy heavy metal. Black boy built pyramid, damn I feel special. White boy don't believe, black boy was once Pharaoh. Stereotypes.
Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Cause this life's so hard and the world's so cold, my dear. And we got so far to go. We got so far to go.
Oh, oh. It's all off memory.
Where do we go from here?
They call the black girl ghetto and the white girl loved it. Black girl a fighter, white girl changes the subject. Black girl need a hug, white girl need a thug. White girl got a black boy, now she's one of us. Black girl gold digging, let's see how far I get you. Black girl just for me, white girl Paul Mitchell. White girl up and leave, she split and take half. Black girl is all you need, don't care about your past. White girl kills her husband when he sleeps to himself. Black girl call me white cause I articulate well. White girl submissive, black girl vindictive. White girls are spoil you, black girls handle they business. Black girl drug addict, white girl prom queen. Stereotypes exist, racism behind the scenes. White girl daddy saying, leave them niggas alone. Black girl dancing to that need a rich nigga song. Should I continue on?
Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Cause this life's so hard and the world's so cold, my dear. And we got so far to go. From here, where do we go from here? Cause this life's so hard and the world's so cold, my dear. And we got so far to go, we got so far to go. Where do we go from here?
Welcome back, guys. This is DJ Cheeks, and you are here at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for tuning in. We're here with Josh, Carly, and Danielle. Okay, so if you're just tuning in, we were talking about Black Lives Matter, and we were just having good conversations on Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and what it is, what white privilege is. And now we're gonna switch gears a little bit and talk about the presidential candidates and the presidential debate that just happened. And in this room, well, I didn't ask Josh, but I guess we'll find out. Who are you supporting, Josh?
Yeah, I was thinking Trump sounds really good this year. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't like either of the candidates, but Trump is just the worst type of human being.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you'd ever want him to run our country. But
exactly.
That's just my opinion on it.
And going off of what Josh just said, I want you guys to hear. This is in the media a lot, so I decided I'm going to play for you guys. Because you guys, you know, I like to let you guys know what's shaking in the media. So I'm going to play for you guys. Donald Trump, your Republican presidential candidate. Just listen to what he has to say. And you can tell his voice. Just listen.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there. And she was married. Then all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit. In the purple.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, the Donald is scored. Whoa. Oh, my man. Wait, you gotta look at me when you get out of your
life. That is very.
Will you give me the thumbs
look
up?
Look at you. You are a
piece. You gotta put the thumbs up. Right, you gotta get the thumbs up. Can't be too happy.
Can we get anybody else off first?
Yeah, let me.
It's very funny.
You gotta give me the thumbs up.
All right, you and I will walk there.
Oh my God.
Okay, so right there, she's just talking about moving in on a married woman and how he wanted to F her and stuff. And I want you, there's a specific version I want you guys to hear. And that's coming up in this.
Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the publicist. No, it's her.
Yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Okay, I'm going to replay this verse right here. Just listen to Donald Trump. I just want you guys to understand. This is your presidential candidate. This is a man who we already know is not for the female. Like, he claims this and claims that. He is just a plain ignorant idiot, and I don't know why anybody would support him. I want to know if you're supporting Donald Trump. I want to personally invite you to my show. Come on and let's want to understand why. Like, I don't think I know anybody who's voting, because I keep negativity out of my circle, so I don't think I know anybody that is voting for Donald Trump. But if you're listening and you are, please contact me. I want to have a conversation with you. But here's, if you're voting for him, just listen to what your candidate said again.
Do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the pussy.
He said, grab him by the pussy. Grab a female by the pussy. Somebody who, like, what's you guys' this, I'm going to ask our guest speaker today, what is you guys' point of view on this? Carly, you look very excited and have something to say.
What fired me up during the debate was when this was being talked about, he was kept saying, well, that was just locker room talk. Like, that was locker room talk. Like, we're going to kill ISIS. Let's talk about Syria. Right. So he definitely was trying to reflect, which, I mean, in a way, like, what are you going to say when somebody has video of, or audio of you saying that, you know?
You
like,
just drop out. Drop out of the debate.
But what makes me so angry is that he's talking about something that's called locker room talk. I'm sorry. I know a lot of men on this planet who would not consider that locker room talk, or who heard that and were completely appalled and defended, saying, you shut that down, you don't do that, you walk away, you don't associate yourself with people like that, you know, like, that's just something that isn't right. And with him saying things like that, and this being exposed in the public and people thinking that that's okay, he's basically supporting this whole, he's supporting and demoralizing all of the strides that women have made in the last 100 years, mm-hmm, to be able to have equality. He's making that sexualized culture and the sexualization of the female body okay. And we have children and people growing up in this culture that now think that it's okay to be talking about making out with married women and sleeping with them. Like, it doesn't matter, you know? And that's, I think, what makes me so mad, is that we've worked so hard to be able to be like, to be equal with men. And I mean, we're still fighting. There's still inequality. Yes. Like, it's not like we don't live in a perfect world, and he's just bringing us back even farther and making people think that it's okay to talk about women like that, and any, or just people in general. Like, I mean, it goes two-way street. Like, women can't be talking about men like that either, you know? Like, it's very frustrating to listen
to. Danielle, did you have something to say about this?
Yeah, I just feel like what Donald Trump is trying to, like, he's defending himself, which I guess, I mean, of course he's going to, but what he's also doing is normalizing the rape culture that we, mm-hmm, have in this society, in our country, yes, right now. Because he can say that this is locker room talk, so it's normal to be talking about people who are in a committed relationship, they're married, and you want to be over here and you want to grab her by her privates because
he's famous and he thinks he can do that.
And that's, I feel like, so you feel like you have the authority to do that because you are a star, you're famous, whatever. So what is the message that you're sending out to other people?
Right.
That as long as you're rich and famous, you can do whatever you want. You can degrade people. No one's going to check you. No one's going to say what you're doing is not right. And I feel like, why would you want that person to be the president?
Right.
Because one thing that people don't realize, there are other countries with female leaders.
Yeah.
So do you expect them to want to be in a relationship with America if Donald Trump is our president?
Right.
Like, if Donald Trump becomes our president, I can already see all the negative things that are going to happen to this country very quickly, because people are already, I see America's walking on a fine line already.
Yeah.
So you don't want to already just tip it over and then the whole world is against us. Like, you don't need to have one more strike against you. And having Donald Trump as president is going to do that. So that's...
Yeah, he is ridiculous. And I wanted to ask you, Josh, like, being an athlete and hearing Donald Trump say this is locker room talk, what do you think about that? Like, do you agree with him? Like, do you guys talk about grabbing women by the pussy? I hope you don't, but, you know, I just want to...
I don't know about all that, but, like, I mean, certainly people say all sorts of stuff to their guy friends that is, like, dumb stuff that you, like, are just joking about, but never something like that. Like, especially coming out as, like, a public figure and someone who's trying to run as president, I just can't believe that. I don't know. It's just stupid. You can't have someone so dumb being our president. Like, from the very beginning, it was like, wait, Donald Trump's running for presidency? Like, oh, no, you're kidding.
Did you think,
like,
that was a joke, too?
I thought it was a joke. I was like, what the heck? I was, like, following this guy, Dan Bilzerian, on Instagram, who's just, like, a total womanizer, and a lot of people follow him because he posts, like, pictures of girls and stuff.
Yeah, I think I know you
talking. He was doing, like, a Dan Bilzerian for president, and I was like, oh, yeah, Donald Trump was doing this, too. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, these guys are just kidding. But then Donald Trump started gaining some following. I was like, he's saying, like, terrible stuff about all sorts of different people, and he's pretty much offended every race and every culture at this point, and still he's there. So it's just like, it's just what money can buy, and I don't think he would be in this position at all if he didn't have any money. So it's just terrible to see that he's made it so far, and I'm glad that, I mean, it's sad that this has come to light, but it's at the same time, it's good that it has, because you kind of see the person that he's really like. So this should be the last straw. If, like, all the other things didn't matter to people, this needs to be the final, like, tipping point where people need to be like, we cannot have this guy run our country.
Definitely. I just want to go through the list of things he's really done to tip people over. Why would you want to be the president when you have single-handedly bashed the people you are trying to, like be the honor of? Like, how can you? First, he wanted to build a wall so we can avoid Mexicans, and he doesn't want any immigrants. Like, he's just racist. And then he was just being racist towards African Americans. I looked up the poll, and it's 1%. He has 1% vote of African Americans. I don't even know where this
1%.
Who are those 1%? These are the people he's paying. These are the...
Has to be Omarosa.
These are his forgiveness votes. He is... Like, what are you for, Donald Trump? Like, I don't think you're listening, but if you are, what are you... Like, what is he about? Like, why are you... Why should we vote for you? Because... You're gonna give us jobs? You're gonna... Oh, we're gonna work at the Trump Tower? Like, what? Miss me with all that. And he doesn't even know anything. He's talking about he worked the business life, so he knows what he's doing. Okay. Wasn't he... Oh, actually, I had something. Do you know that Donald Trump's parents were in the KKK?
Yeah.
So,
That's one thing people like to cover, but... Like, there's photographic evidence.
Yeah,
so,
his
parents, you can't deny that.
How? Like, I'm so confused how he... First he says, I'm not racist. Then he says this and says all these things. And he's like, I'm not racist. I wouldn't say that. Just like, you guys watched the presidential debate, right? I watched that, and I don't understand how he made this far. Like, I think he must be paying his way through or something. He must be letting people get some free nights.
There's a lot of ignorant people out there, too. So.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. I think I heard one of my teammates was telling me her friends told her she was voting for Trump because she was in the top half. And that's, like, the top half is you make over, like, millions a year or something like that. And so your tax is high. Is that right? Is that correct? Like, you get taxed really high.
Well, Hillary's tax plan is to tax the wealthier population in America, mm-hmm. because that's where the money is to get the to stimulate the economy again, while Trump isn't trying to keep more of a flat tax for everybody so that he's not targeting the wealthier population. So that's why people usually that have larger incomes, I mean, I are going to be more against Hillary's tax mm-hmm. plan because they are going to suffer more yeah. through what they have to pay in taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just... Trump doesn't pay taxes anyway, so how yeah, can you just expect him to be for equality in the tax sector? You know, like,
yeah.
he's obviously not going to make it so that everybody is paying what they can afford in taxes. He's going to look out for the population that he belongs to, which is the 1%.
Yeah.
He's not going to be over here talking about, the poor people, you know, you don't have to pay much in taxes. We know you don't make that much. He doesn't care because he's never been poor in his life anyways.
Yeah, he's never been poor.
So he started off his business with his father's money, $1 million, a full million.
Yeah.
Do you know what, if everybody in this country got $1 million, do you know what they could do with that?
Right.
So it's like, so he can't be over here talking about he's self-made, he did this, that. Okay, but then you started off with a large sum of money.
He was born with a silver spoon, yeah.
So we already know that that is what his life is. He knows only the top whatever percent.
Yeah.
Maybe he was in the top 10 and now he moved to top 1, which is still the top. It's still
yeah.
more than the 90.
Yeah. So I'm confused why if he, going off of what Carly said, so he wants to keep it where everyone pays the same, but then that's just making the rich richer and the yeah. poor poorer. Mm-hmm. So I'm against that. So what are you guys' input on that?
Oh, taxes.
Josh, you have something to say?
Yeah, you looked like you were ready.
Yeah, I looked like I was more prepared than I was. But me and Carly actually have the global implications for business class, and we are talking about that when you tax the richer, or when you don't tax the rich as much, they have more money to spend, so more money goes back into the economy. That's one theory. Obviously, it's not always true because some of them are frivolous with their money. They're not going to spend anyways, but a lot of them will just, like, ball out, really. So, like, if you're not taxing them as much, they're going to have that much more money, and that money that they have is going to go back into the economy. They're going to be spending and buying other things is one theory behind it. So it's just, I'm not saying that Trump's idea is correct or wrong. I'm just saying that, like, there's definitely a different side to that story as well. And I think my aunt and uncle, they're probably in, like, they're not in, like, the top shelf or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. they're not super wealthy, but they're comfortable, and I think they're voting for Trump because they like his tax policies. And they like that he's not a politician and he speaks his mind, I guess, is one thing, which is, and we've always had politicians in the Oval Office, so maybe there's time for a change, but I don't think Trump is the right change for that. He's not the right one.
He's definitely not the guy for that. But going off of what you said about your global economy class, would we rely on them to spend their money? And if they don't,
then we're dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with. Than if we're taxing everybody the same,
uh-huh.
but the wealthy, our wealthy population aren't bringing money back into the economy, then it becomes like a downward spiral, you know, because
yeah.
our economy isn't being stimulated. So mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, there's the theory behind it. If the theory works, then great, that's awesome. Yeah. But it's a theory for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a reason why that wouldn't work would be because if the government wants to control the taxes so they are guaranteed to give back to the less fortunate, like where they give them, because my understanding is the money, the taxes they give from the wealthier, they give as food stamps or mm-hmm. stuff like that to the less wealthier. That's my understanding.
Well, it's for lots of, that's just one of the,
yeah, that's just one of
these,
like, to build the road.
I think we don't have, like, a really good understanding of it. I brought it up just because I know that there's a plus side to that, and
yeah.
that's the only thing I really know about it, so I'm sure there's much more that goes on into yeah. it. We're just not, like, too overly educated about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely. So I want to thank you guys for coming on this show. Thank you, listeners, for listening to What's Shaking here at radio.dominican.edu. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Carly. Thank you, Josh. We hit some great matters. We talked about some great things. So to wrap it up, listen to DJ Gaines next up here at radio.dominican.edu, and DJ Beefcake is right after, and then DJ Duncan at 4 p.m. Stay tuned because he has some basketball talks for you. And make sure to catch the Midnight Mayhem here on Friday at 9:30 p.m. and make sure to cheer on the basketball team as they begin their first full weeks of practice, and their games are later in November. So stay tuned here at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for tuning in. This has been DJ Cheeks, and I want to thank my guests too. Do you guys have any shout outs you want to give?
My team
my team
all of them, all 10 of them that
could possibly be listening.
Just want to shout out Torch, shout out BSU, shout out Dominican.
Yeah, shout out all the students. You guys are great. Love y'all.
Yes.
Beyond. Hey, hey, I'm beyond. All that's. Mama, would you like to be my sunshine? We touch my game, we gon' turn this to Columbine. Ice on my neck, cost me 10 times 3. $30,000 for a new rocket flea. I just hit Rodeo and I spent like 10 G's. I just did a show and spent the check on my mama. When I go and vacay, I might run out the Bahamas. And I keep like 10.